We're not too religious around here. So, who's your daddy? And the whole deal is we're looking at the name Jehovah. And we found out that Jehovah is God's name. And or as best as we can tell, that's His name. Because the Hebrew language is unique that it doesn't have any vowels in it. And God told Israel, says, don't take the name of the Lord your God in vain. So they didn't. So they don't write it. They don't pronounce it. They don't say it. The only person that ever says it is the high priest. And he says it once a year, or did once a year. And so they kind of lost the name. They lost the pronunciation. And if you'll notice, when Dale comes, they put, even if they spell God, it's G_D. They don't write the name. And it's called the holy name, the unutterable name, the name. But Jehovah is the name that describes not the attributes of God, it describes the essence of God. And we found out that the name Jehovah means eternal, ever-loving one. Eternal, ever-loving one. One of the things that I wanted to do in this is kind of to destroy a mental image that we have of the Father. A lot of people think that the God of the Old Testament and the God of the New Testament are two separate gods, because it almost looks that way. In fact, in the Old Testament, it looks like we see a lot of the anger and the wrath and the judgment, and we don't see that in the New Testament. And people says, well, the God in the Old Testament is different than the God in the New Testament. One thing He said about Himself, though, is, I am Jehovah and I change not. He's never changed. There's not a chance that He will ever change. So it is the same God in the Old Testament as it is in the New Testament. He is ultimately love. That's His heart's desire. That's who He wants to be. That's who He is. He is love. There is the side of judgment. But God's basic nature is love. And I don't know. I don't know where I got that concept as a kid. But maybe it's reading the Bible stories. It looked like God was mad. It just looked like He was mad all the time. But He really wasn't. And I don't think anything describes this any better than the 23rd Psalm. In fact, I think you could take the 23rd Psalm, take it out of the Old Testament, put it into the New Testament, and it would fit perfectly. But it is an Old Testament scripture. In fact, it is probably the most popular chapter in the Bible, the 23rd Psalm. But it's before Jesus was in the earth, and it describes Jehovah. And we're going to look at some names. The first week we looked just at the name of Jehovah. Last week we looked at what I call the relational names of Jehovah. Remember, He is Lord of hosts. He is the Lord our God. And then He says, I am the Lord thy God. And then we looked at the name that says, He is the Lord my God. So Jehovah is very relational. He is the one who created. He is the one who commands power. He is the one who is Lord over all of the hosts that He's created. Even though that He has given us free wills, He's still Lord, and His ways will still be done in the end. He is the Lord of hosts. He's the Lord our God. He says, I am the Lord thy God. He's the Lord my God. And He ties us together in relationship. When we come into relationship with God, guess what? We have to come into relationship with all of His children. You know, it's time that we as the children of God quit fussing and fighting. Even among churches, different churches and different brands and different names, we need to quit fussing and fighting. You know, the Church of Christ is not our enemy. The Catholics are not our enemy. The Assemblies of God are not our enemies. The Baptists are not our enemies. If they're born again, they're brothers and sisters. And we just need to call the war off. Because we have been called to become the body of Christ. And I think even in the diversity, I think that probably every church has some things that's wrong about it. I don't think anybody has perfect doctrine. And if it depended on perfect doctrine, I don't think any church would qualify. Because everybody probably has some things that they believe that are wrong. You probably believe some things that are wrong. And if you had to believe perfectly in order to be saved, then nobody could be saved. So you know what we need to do? We just need to let God sort all that out. And we need to be brothers and sisters. And we need to know that, our enemy is not flesh and blood, but it's principality and power. It's Satan. He's our enemy, not some other church group. And we need to, you know, and I realize people get off into to some areas that are dangerous, and we have to recognize those sometimes, and we have to deal with that. And even sometimes the church even has to discipline people because of certain things. But everything that we do needs to be done out of love. Everything that we do needs to be done to protect the body. I have a great responsibility to protect this body from error. It's my responsibility to teach you as good as I know how the ways of God. That's my responsibility. It's my responsibility to guard the pulpit here and make sure that what you hear is healthy and wholesome to the best of my ability. And, so that's what we need to do. He is the relational God. God is not a hermit. And He doesn't want us as His children to be hermits. We were made for relationships. We were made for fellowship. We were made to be with each other. We were made to be one together with Him. In fact, when we come together at the table, we come with great diversity in our lives. And it's all kinds of diversity. But one thing that we all have in common is that we all have a relationship with God. And that ties us together. And it's important that we know that aspect of the Father. That when we come into relationship with Him, we are called to the fellowship with Him and with one another. And we cannot deny that. If we really understand who God is and what He's about, that's what we need to do. I'm going to read today Psalms 23 from the New King James, and then we're going to dissect this a little bit as much as we've got time. And this will be familiar to you. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. That's probably the greatest psalm that's ever been written. And when you consider who wrote the psalm and who was within a relationship with God, David. You know, I always thought David was a great guy. Then I read about him in the Bible. And David has the myriad of experience. He was raised in a good home. He was raised probably in a healthy home. It probably was not a dysfunctional home. He had lots of brothers. I don't know how many sisters he had, but he had lots of brothers. He had a strong father that raised him right. But when David grew up, he was anointed to be king. And for a long time, from the time that he was anointed to be king by the prophet until he became king, he went through a lot of persecution. In fact, the king tried to kill him. And finally, he came to the kingship. David was a man of great heart. He was raised right. But, you know, true to it, David was not beyond temptation. And we've read about David and Bathsheba, how that he committed adultery with Bathsheba. She became pregnant out of that relationship. And he concocted a story to try to not come clean. And he tried to bring the husband back so that he would sleep with her. It was one of his mighty men that served him in war. And he brought him back and so that he would sleep with his wife and so that they could tie it to him and not to David. And it failed. And finally, I mean, he got him drunk. Finally, he had him murdered. He thought he'd got away with it. He was confronted by the prophet. And guess what? He repented. So David was, you know, he was raised right and he fell. He had experience like a whole lot of us have had, and he was able to write this great Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." So we see, a conglomerate of the experience that people have all in one person. Because there's a lot of people that mess up in their lives. Maybe you weren't raised right. Maybe you were raised in a dysfunctional home. And maybe you've come to God. And you can have this same testimony that David had, even though that he was raised right and strayed and came back. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." So we're going to look at some Jehovah names today. And I said all that to just say this to you. Really, we're all in the same boat. Whether we had good upbringings or not. Maybe we never strayed. Maybe we've always been in church. Maybe we've all lived right. Maybe you've messed up a whole bunch, but you've come to Christ. Guess what? We're all in the same boat. And we have the same thing in common, that we all have a relationship with God, and we all need that relationship with God. That is the thing that saves us. That is the thing that ties us together. Amen? Okay, I know this is the early crowd, but you can shout just a little bit this morning. So we're going to look at several names today that are pictured in this psalm. The word may not be there, but the concept is there. And the first one is Jehovah Rohi. R-O-H-I. Jehovah Rohi. And he says, "Jehovah is my shepherd." Shepherd. Now, that connected with the people of that day, because you know what? That they lived in an agrarian society. They were farmers and they raised herds and they understood that. That really connected with them. And the shepherd was the one who took care of the sheep. And David is saying, you know what? Jehovah, the eternal, ever-loving one, is my shepherd. He is the one who takes care of me. He is the one who is the guardian of me. He is the one whose flock I am in. So this describes a personal relationship. And I think this is the first thing that we have to come to as people who come to God. You know, you don't just come to God. You have to come to God personally. It's not just like coming to church and, you know, trying to live a good life or trying to do certain things. No, we have to come to God and we have to give Him the care of our life. We call it being saved or being born again. And this is where that relationship begins, is that we make Him our shepherd. We make Him our shepherd. In fact, the New Testament calls the Lord Jesus Christ the what? The great shepherd of the sheep. He's the great shepherd of the sheep. But you know what? Jehovah was the shepherd of Israel. Jehovah was the shepherd of the covenant people of that day. And it was a personal relationship that they had with Jehovah. It's the personal name. Now notice the next thing that it says, and we're going to go through this pretty quickly. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd." And the second thing is, "I shall not want." I shall not want. And this corresponds with another name of Jehovah that we find in the Bible, and it is the word Jehovah Yireh. Or we have always said Jehovah Jireh. Now I want you to flip with me to the book of Genesis, and we're going to look at a verse of scripture here. Genesis chapter 22. And we're going to begin with verse 8. This is the story of Abraham and Isaac. When Abraham had received the promise of the son Isaac, Isaac comes of age, and one day Jehovah says to him, "Abraham, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take your son, your only son, and I want you to take him to a mountain that I'll show you. And on that mountain, I want you to sacrifice him as a burnt offering unto me. So Abraham takes his son, and they go to this mountain, and God shows him the mountain. As they're going up the mountain, he says to the servants, he says, can I paraphrase? You guys stay here, the lad and I will go yonder and worship and come again. This shows Abraham's faith. Because God said to him, you're going to do what? You're going to take him up there. You're going to offer him as a burnt offering. He wasn't coming back. But Abraham said, the lad and I will go yonder and worship and come again. As they were going up the mountain, Isaac said to his father, he says, Father, here is the sticks and here is the fire and where is the lamb? And Abraham turns to his son, he says, God will provide himself a lamb. Now, let's go with verse 8. This is where it begins. And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself the lamb for a burnt offering. And the two of them went together. Then they came to the place of which God told him, and Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order, and he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he says, here I am. And he said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by the horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it for the burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Yireh. The Lord will provide, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. And the word Yireh means to see. The Lord will see. Or I was talking to Dale Cohen the other day. He says that meant that the Lord will see to it. He will see and he will see to it. And we tie this back into the 23rd Psalm. And he says, because Jehovah is my shepherd, I shall not want. He sees my life and he sees to it. Now you need to let that sink into your heart today. He sees your life and he sees to it. Did Abraham have a need? Yes. Did he want to offer his son? No. Did God see to it? Yes, he did. And you know what? God sees your need too. I'm not talking about the Lord Jesus, although they're together. I'm talking about your Father God. Your Father God sees your life and he will see to it. He will see to it. He will provide. And we need to trust him to provide. How many times do we try to take hold and provide for ourselves the things that we can't provide? How many times do we try the arm of the flesh when, if we would just step back and let the Lord be our provider, he would provide. Amen? Okay. Verse 2 of Psalms 23. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. This paints a picture of peace. One of the names of Jehovah is Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. Now what does he provide for us? First of all, he's the provider. He sees to it. But one of the things that he provides for us is peace. Peace. God wants us to live in peace. We can have the peace of God. We can have peace with God. And listen, we can have peace with one another. In fact, the New Testament tells us, as much as it lies within you, live at peace with every man. Wow. We should be living the life of peace. And it really doesn't matter what's going on around you. It doesn't really matter what your circumstances of life is. You can have the peace of God in your life because Jehovah is your peace. Amen. The next thing that it says is, He restores my soul. This is the name Jehovah Rapha, which is the Lord who heals you. Now notice what he says here. He restores my soul. Let me say this to you. You know a lot, and I believe this, a lot of things that happen to you in the physical, as far as is sickness and disease and things that attack your body, begins in your soul. And a lot of times, it comes because we get out of peace. We get into stress. We get into strife. We get into some areas of our life where the inside of us gets out of sorts. You ever been there? You ever lived there? Okay. You know what that begins to do to your body? You know what that begins to do to your brain? We did some studies a couple years ago in one of our life groups. Caroline Leaf talks about toxic thinking. Remember that? Who switched off my brain? That when we begin to think fear thoughts, negative thoughts, thoughts that are not peace, that it actually releases toxic things in our mind and it begins to break down our bodies. So really you cannot disconnect the soul from the body. Your soul affects your body. Your body affects your soul. So it says, He restores my soul. I love the progression of this thing. He said, He's my shepherd. He'll provide for me. He leads me in the place of peace and He restores my soul. And when we get into worry, when we get into some of these other things of fear, we go against the very thing that He has provided for us, and we get out of peace. Listen, we need to come back into peace because He is our peace. He is Jehovah Shalom. He is the ever-loving one, and He wants you to live in His peace. I'll tell you, this is a psalm that you can live by. We just need to dissect it and look at it. Then the next thing that He says, He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. That's the word Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. He has become our righteousness. In fact, if you remember the very thing that happened to Abraham when he stood out to count the stars, it says that he believed in the Lord and the Lord accounted it unto him as righteousness. The New Testament gives a picture of that. And they ask the question, was Abraham justified by faith or was he justified by works? He was justified by faith. When he had faith in Jehovah, guess what happened? It was imputed unto him as righteousness. It was counted unto him as righteousness. Righteousness is what? It's right standing with God. Now let me tell you something. And we'll get into this in some other series that we do. But you'll never do enough good things to be righteous. You cannot earn righteousness. We need, when our relationship with God is discussed, we need to get out of this works mentality. We really do. We need to get away from this works mentality. Have you ever heard about something bad happening to a good person? And somebody says, you know what? They didn't deserve that. That is a works mentality. That's a works mentality. We need to get away from that kind of thinking. We need to get into a righteousness mentality. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. It has nothing to do with about how good I've been or how bad I've been. It is an imputed thing. It is a gift that is given to me by God. I did not earn it. I cannot earn it. I cannot be good enough to keep it. It's a gift. And it was in the Old Testament too. The Lord, our righteousness, Jehovah Tsidkenu. He wants to be our righteousness. Psalms 23:4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. That is the word Jehovah Shammah. He is here. You know what? Everywhere you go, He is here. If you go over there, He is here. Everywhere you are, He are. Everywhere you is, He is. David says, where can I go to get away from Your presence? That's in the Psalms. He said, where can I go to escape Your presence? He said, if I go to the highest heaven, You're there. If I go to the lowest hell, You're there. If I take wings and I fly this way, behold, I run right into You. You can never be in a place that He's not there. One of the promises that He gave us, I love this. I love this. And this is one of the reasons I know I don't go to hell. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Wow. That's a pretty good promise. I'll never leave. You know, my wife might leave me. But God won't. She better not. You might leave. But He'll stay. I have that assurance. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, Jehovah Shammah, You are there. I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. And that's just a wonderful promise that we have. See, this gives a picture of what the eternal, ever-loving God looks like. The Jehovah is His essence. The Shema has to do with His attributes. They show you His heart. They show you what He wants to be to you. He is here. Verse 5. You prepare a table before Me in the presence of My enemies. That's the word Jehovah Nissi. The Lord our banner. The Lord our banner. When He is here, guess what? He hovers over us. We have a, there's a tradition in Israel. They get married. They get married under something called the huppah. C-H-U-P-P-A-H. The huppah. And the huppah represents God's abiding presence. And they get married under the huppah. Well, the Bible says that He prepares a table before us, even in the presence of our enemies. We live under the huppah. We live under the banner. We live under the name of the Lord our God. He is always there, and He is always there to see about us. Isn't that good? Then He says, you anoint My head with oil, My cup runs over. That's the word Jehovah Mekedesh, which is the Lord doth sanctify. You know what it means to sanctify? It means to set apart, to make special. And this is one thing that God wants to do in your life. He wants to set you apart and make you special. When we sanctify ourselves unto God, when we call Him special, we set Him aside as special. You remember the circle series that I did where I talked about how we live out of the circles of our life and that how God is supposed to be number one in our life, that you make Him Lord and there's nobody else that you allow in that inner circle, that innermost circle of your life. That's sanctification. That's setting Him aside. And you know what He wants to do to you? He wants to set you aside. And what happens when we're set aside by God, because we've set Him aside? He says, He anoints my head with oil, my cup runs over. This talks about the anointing in your life. This is where you begin to see the flow of the purpose of your life beginning to take shape. You see it beginning to take place in your life. If you resist that in your life, you'll always be frustrated. Why? Because you've not sanctified the Lord in your heart. We need, because He desires to set us apart, when we're set apart by Him, our head is anointed with oil and our cup begins to run over. I believe that's your spiritual man. I believe that's your inward man. That's when the Christ-likeness begins to flow out of you. That's when the love of God begins to flow out of you. That's when the essence of the fruit of the Spirit begins to flow out of your life. It's a relationship. And guess what? It is progressive. It is progressive. So He's Jehovah Makedesh. Then we're going to sum it up with this, and then we're going to have some prayer time. It says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let me ask you a question. When you begin to realize just how what Jehovah is, His essence, and what His desire toward you is, and what that He pursues a relationship with you, how could you say anything different than, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever? Why would you want to be anywhere else than in His presence? Why would you want anything else in your life except for what He provides? He is wooing us into this relationship. He is drawing us as the people of God into this relationship. God wants to be special to us. These are the things that He desires to do for you. And notice what it says. Surely, two things will follow you all the days of your life. Goodness. Whose goodness? His goodness. And this next one, mercy. You know why mercy? You know why mercy is going to follow you all the days of your life? Because you're still going to need it. It didn't say surely badness and judgment. It said surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I want to stay in the place of what? Goodness and mercy. There is great benefit in following Christ. Not only spiritual, but also physical. It has to do with your body. It has to do with your prosperity. See, one thing that I didn't cover in Jehovah Shalom, that word shalom also means to prosper. Prosper. You know, prosperity can come out of peace. And it's prosperity of the whole man, the inner man all the way to the outer man. You know, you can prosper out here if you don't do it right. One of the things the Bible says that the blessing of the Lord, it makes rich. And He adds no sorrow with it. Why? Because when you prosper God's way, there's no regret. There's no sorrow about it. If you prosper man's way, you know what? If you're dishonest and cheat and, you know, scheme and all of those kind of things, there is sorrow that comes with that. But when you prosper God's way, guess what? There's no sorrow added to it. Why? Because there's no sorrow in it. It's the blessing of the Lord. So it flows out of the very first thing, the Lord is my shepherd. It's that personal relationship with Him. Everything flows out of that circle in your life. Everything flows out of that relationship with you. And it's, you know what? It's not just an automatic thing, because you still have the power to choose or not to choose. You always have the power of choice. God never forces anything on you. But listen, if we're going to do it, we do it His way. We don't get to decide what the way is. But His way is good. Sometimes we're just hard to convince that His way is good, because it's not always what we want. So sometimes we have to bow our heart to His will. And as we do that, guess what? It's amazing how all these things begin to flow in our life. Let's get ready to pray. Prayer team, would you come? Father God, just we bless You and thank You today in Jesus' name. Thank You that You're our very own Father. And we're Your very own children. And You love us with an eternal, everlasting love. You have become our shepherd. You have become our all in all. Everything that we need You to be, You're our God. And we thank You for that today. Lord, I pray for every person here today that You would draw them closer, 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 closer to You, so that You can become all that they need You to be in their lives. And I thank You in Jesus' name. All right, our altars are open right now. If you need prayer for anything, we invite you to come. If you need to make Jesus Lord, Maybe you need to come back to God. Whatever it is. Maybe you need healing in your body. Maybe you need to come back into the way of peace. Whatever it is, we ask you to come now.